going.
Where are you, man?
Genius billionaire playboy philanthropist.
We have a knight!
Uh-huh.
Nerd!
Hold on to your butts.
And now for something completely different.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Nerditude Podcast, a podcast for all things nerd. My name is Chris. I'm here with
Sam
and Sean.
And live via Skype, we have...
Oh, it's John.
Who else?
Yeah, who else?
Pat Wrench.
We can do that now.
One day.
Yeah, we can do that. But anyway, so tonight's episode... we will be discussing episode 3 of Game of Thrones, season 7, called The Queen's Justice. And then we'll follow that up with Dunkirk review with Sam and John, followed by the wonderful Emoji Movie review. One of us actually saw it.
Who saw it? I don't know. If there was only some kind of spoiler a couple episodes ago, let us know who had to go see this. I mean...
And then, anyway, Sean will discuss Rick and Morty.
Yay!
New show that came out.
Well, it's not new. It's third season.
Oh, new season of
yes.
A show that came out on Cartoon Network, I believe.
Adult Swim. Exactly.
And then we'll follow that all up with Preacher. Me, Sean, and John are all up to date.
Yay!
Episode 7. And just a little bit of a tease. Preacher's getting pretty good. So... Let's kick it off with John, with our usual Game of Thrones leader. Why don't you start us off with this episode 3?
Okay. All right.
What do you think about HBO and Game of Thrones completely ignoring the reality of travel time?
What? How the Iron Fleet just like went all the way, unless there's a magical Riverlands canal or something like that, but just went all the way from one coast to another like within the span of an episode. You mean that part?
Yeah, I mean the fact that Jon Snow left for King's Landing and at the end of the episode and then showed up Dragonstone, which is essentially right next to King's Landing.
Yeah.
Showed up.
I feel
beginning?
Like that one's not as egregious, though.
No, truthfully. But how about the fact that they sailed all the way around Westeros to land at Casterly Rock?
Listen, bro, what do you want? You want to have, like multiple episodes of, like, Euron on a boat, like, talking to his crew about, like, pussy? Like, what do you want?
I mean, at the rate they're going, Arya should have been in fucking Winterfell by now.
She probably should have been in Craster's Keep by now. Like, Jesus. Like, so, yeah, that's a little problematic. It's kind of going to just happen. Like, the show isn't going to be, filled with a bunch of, like, really interesting, like, small moments from here on out. Because, like, a lot of stuff's going to happen. Like, we're almost at the halfway point to this season. Or are we past? Is this 7 or 8? Well, either way.
This is 7.
7, yeah.
Yeah, so, halfway through, I mean, there's a lot of plot going through here, but we still feel like there's a long way to go. But I don't know about you guys. I'm kind of like Team Euron now. Overnight, I've become like, do we need Euron to like, I need Euron. Like he needs to be the guy.
Was it the finger in the butt comment, or is that what won you
over? Yeah, he's interesting. Here's the thing about, like, Jon and Daenerys, like, they're fucking boring people.
No, you're right. He adds a little bit of,
Jon is brooding all the time, and Daenerys is just Daenerys.
She's got one note, she gets angry, and that's about it.
A grudge against her shoulder. A grudge against everybody else, pretty much.
Yeah.
But no, you're right, though. He adds a little bit of flair to the character.
And he's new, so we don't know, like, how he's going to react to shit.
Oh, at this point, we know with the finger in the butt and everything.
Yeah.
We know.
Like, yeah, like he's almost like, what's the word for it? Like, kind of like not voice of the audience, but, like, he's almost, like, existing on another plane where he's like, oh, let me just, like, fuck with the rules of this place. It's like he's playing Westworld, pretty much.
Yeah.
Where, like, you're not really supposed to go up to, like, the hand of the queen or the, you know, captain of the king's or queen's guard, whatever the hell it's called now, and just be like, hey, how about you fucking your sister?
Yeah, and at this point, she's flaunting it too, right? Because wasn't in this episode, he tries to hide and she goes, I'm the queen, I can do whatever I want.
Yeah, yeah. Like, we still get more characters. We get that random, like, maid or whatever just showing up with the exact same haircut as Cersei.
Yeah.
Is that a thing now? I don't know.
Who knows?
Is this a person I should care about? I don't know.
In Thrones, the second you start caring, they die.
Right.
So,
but I think my big takeaway here is I think Danny's gonna fuck this whole thing up.
Right?
Like, I really legitimately think that, like, she is just, like, she's not, like, the end game. She's, like, a pawn in this whole thing. And it's gonna be, like, Jon and Sansa or something like that. Like, not together. Although they could be. They're not actually related.
They're cousins. Well, actually, they're cousins. Yeah. What was I going to say? I want to go that far. But I do agree with you that Dany is going to screw this up. But I only think that is going to make her more enticed. It's going to be more enticing to make an alliance with the North.
Yeah, she's in order to make this season interesting, she's got to fall.
Right.
Because she came into this with everything on her back, all the wind behind her back, every advantage she had. It was like, okay, are we going to just watch two episodes of her conquering Westeros and that's the end of the season?
Yeah.
So yeah, well, it just, I don't know, it seemed like weird storytelling to me to be like, well, Dany has, you know, essentially the dragons, the Unsullied, the Dothraki, and then the two, you know, has Dorne and then Highgarden, like,
well,
you know,
let's assess that now, because the Unsullied are in Castle of the Rock.
They're trapped there.
Yeah. And then the Tyrell in Highgarden, that was just sacked.
Yeah.
And then Dorne just had the Sand Snakes basically slaughtered, and then their fleet to transport them is gone.
Right.
So the only one that's left is Dothraki. Yeah, the only one that's left is Dothraki, and they're on Dragonstone.
Right.
So I don't know.
Yeah, they don't like water.
She's going to need the North now, so she can't be all, like, bend the knee.
Right, but, I mean, the North can't exactly fight for her either, because they're too busy, you know, preparing for the zombie invasion, you know?
Mm.
Maybe she's already fucked it up. Maybe it's not even a matter of she's going to mess it up. Maybe that's it already. I don't know. This show, like I said at the beginning, they found a way to get this show, like, super complicated, super quick, because there was really no reason to think that Jaime and Cersei were going to be able to do anything of, like, you know, any kind of, like, offense or try to, like, make the best out of their situation. I kind of thought it was going to get, like, really screwed up and depressing for them. Kind of essentially just be like a reenactment of, like, the movie Downfall.
Well, I'm going to flip this on its head. I think Cersei's going to fuck this up. Because everything's going for her right now.
Right.
Everything.
She's going to have every advantage. And then Cersei's going to be Cersei, and she's going to fuck this up. And everything is just going to fall apart.
Right.
I guess.
Did you guys think that she was going to get murdered when she was with, like, Ilaria Sand and the Sand Snake? The last Sand Snake in the pit. I really thought she was going to get murdered there.
The last Sand Snake in the pit? In the dungeon?
No, in the dungeon. Yeah, not the pit.
Oh, no. I don't think so.
No, I didn't get that vibe.
I was curious how she was going to kill her, so.
Yeah.
I just found it was funny that, like, she was, like, talking shit about how, like Oberyn had the mountain, like, right where he wanted him, and then he taunted him, and, like, she was doing essentially the same exact thing. So.
Yeah. Yeah, that might play out later.
She's completely accurate with what Oberyn was doing, though. I mean, it's... We were all pissed about that. I mean, just freaking kill him.
Like, she was making the same mistake, or not, or, you know, doing the same thing. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, she might be doing the same thing. It just didn't play out there.
Who knows?
She is still alive and has nothing to live for anymore, so...
Right.
Yeah.
Speaking of people who seemingly have nothing to live for right now, Like, what's Sam doing at this point? Like, cure Dragon Scale, or, great, whatever the fuck it is. Grayscale?
Grayscale, yeah.
Figured out the Dragon Glass thing. Why is he still there? Do we know?
Because he still has to become a maester.
Oh.
That's his point. It's not there to learn about Dragonstone. It's to become a maester with that knowledge. But I think that's, again, I still think it's going to cut over and just him leaving and forging weapons in Dragonstone.
Yeah, it just seems like he's on the sideline and, like, you know.
He's got to find something.
He has to have some importance because his story arc right now is non-existent.
Yeah, it hasn't completed yet.
But, I mean, the fact that Jorah is coming back, he might go back to Dany and give him military advice and things like that. Because, obviously, Tyrion had a good plan. I thought it was a good idea, but obviously, you know, shit went tits up, and now...
So we want to talk about what went down in Highgarden.
Do one last thing with Sam? So there's a conspiracy theory out there that I actually really like, and it's that he is writing the book of Song of Ice and Fire.
Oh, that actually kind of makes sense.
I can see that.
If anyone would, it'd be him. So,
yeah.
In the end, they'll probably do a little tease like that, but it's hard. It's hard because there's a lot of stuff that happened before he was even introduced, but was made aware of everything.
Yeah, but he's a maester now. He can write histories.
Yeah, that's true,
had that conversation.
Yeah, I didn't.
There's a big rabbit hole, obviously, with the conspiracy theories on Reddit and everything, which I won't go through all of them, but. My favorite is that Varys is a mermaid, or merman, just for some reason.
What?
I don't know.
What did you think about Melisandre and Varys, or Melisandre mentioning that, oh, I have to come back to this strange place to die here, and she goes...
I thought that was an awesome scene, like, what the fuck is that about?
Yeah, I know, it was great. But
I'm sure they won't die.
I don't know. I mean, we're at this point, we're about two characters per episode. Two main characters per episode, right?
Just killing them off.
Yeah, because you want
to... What, they have to... Well, I mean, you know, it does get to a point at the end of shows where it's like, well, you know, we're only going to spend time with the most important people, so, you know, like, certain people kind of have their own curtain call and head out. I mean, we're probably not there... for another 4 or 5 hours, but, like, you know, that it does have to kind of naturally dwindle down just to focus on the story.
I don't know how you guys thought about this, but I don't like... Now I'm going into the expectation that at the end of every episode for 7 minutes, we're going to have a battle.
Yeah, I didn't notice that.
I don't know how I feel about that, because...
When the battle for Castle Rock was going on, I'm like, huh, we're having another battle. All right.
I feel like this would... I kept looking at the pressed info and looked at the clock, and it said 51 minutes. And then it's... You know, they're just starting to attack Castle Rock. I'm like, how is this going to happen in 9 minutes? I mean, yeah, I get it, but...
Well,
it's just a little...
There's just so many battles going on right now. We can't have another, like... Battle of the Bastard.
I know.
Just the whole episode.
I'd rather just skip it and then just do one big battle. I think that's what made last season really great, is there was a bunch of nothing or small little fights. Like, small. And then there was the Battle of the Bastards, one big episode. And the season before that, it was Hard Home. You know, it's... I feel like it hit home a little bit more with that. Not to mention, Battle of the Bastards is really hard to top, episode-wise. Yeah. That's a real hard episode to top. So... I just don't want to go into next week on Sunday and be like, oh, well, 50 minutes. That must mean there's a battle coming up soon.
Battle time.
Yeah. Have they teased the whole Eastwatch thing yet? Has that been... Mm. What was the scenes from next week?
I watched those. There's nothing mentioned about Eastwatch or anything.
Because maybe that's the big show.
The only big thing was...
Dagger.
Was Daenerys going, no more clever plans.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And there was a dagger in it.
Yeah, there was a dagger.
The dagger, and it looked like, because I made a mistake, and I went down the Reddit theory board.
Why would you do that?
I know, right?
That's John's job.
They froze the frame, and the person's hand, who is pulling the dagger out, had the same rings as Littlefinger's hand.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I know, right?
Talk about people who are going to fuck this up.
Oh, God, Littlefinger. Jesus Christ, is he going to screw this up? Because Sansa, I believe Sansa's not gullible anymore.
No, no.
I feel like she's
kind of figuring shit out. List of people who you got to pretty much kill or else they're going to like fuck this up for everybody. Like, Littlefinger's pretty much at the top, right? Like, there's no way Littlefinger can be alive and, like, they're going to defeat the zombie army.
No.
Because, like, he's all about, like, splitting people into different factions and playing everyone against each other.
I think it's Littlefinger and Cersei.
Especially his little speech where he's like, everyone's your enemy.
Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah, especially that.
Yeah, that was...
That was, like, 12 blatantly seconds. Him trying to drive a wedge between Sansa and Jon Snow.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. I now I want to see how that plays out. I don't like watching it at the time, but I want to see how it plays out because it's just, you know, Littlefinger's a dick.
Do you think he makes it out of this season?
Littlefinger?
I think he does. I think his comeuppance come in the last season.
I'm going to say no, only because I feel like that's one of those 50-50 characters. That you don't know if he's going to make it because he's such a good character. They might carry him over, but he's such a good character. They might kill him off, you know?
I feel like we really haven't seen him play his hand yet. Like, we know he's going to do something, but we don't know what, you know?
Mm.
Yeah, definitely.
So I feel like he's got to at least play that first, and then Sansa has, like, some bad reaction to it, maybe. Or maybe just Bran, like, wargs into, like, a fucking wolf and just, like, eats him.
Speaking of that. There are certain ways you should not talk to a girl, and being a creeper and saying how she looked on her wedding day is not something that any guy should do.
Also, the wedding day she got raped.
Yeah.
Also, right. If it's your sister.
Yeah, exactly. I kept looking at her like, no, no, you don't say things like that. But Brand is important because he's going to reveal that Jon, it looks like that he's a half Targaryen, half Stark. So.
Hey, guys. They might be in the north, but Bran has no chill. I'll hang up and listen.
Oh boy,
yeah. John just muted himself for that one.
But anyway, let's finish off. You wanted to finish off at Highgarden, right?
Yeah,
let's do Highgarden.
That was a cool scene.
Well, okay,
great take, Sam.
So didn't we know throughout this seasons that Littlefinger was kind of involved with the assassination of Joffrey?
Didn't he said it
he was he hinted that he was kind of responsible
for it. But at the same time, I don't trust him.
Exactly.
Well, yeah, but didn't he know to get Sansa out with the guy who was the clown or whatever?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I think the two of them probably schemed together.
Yeah.
Yeah, but come to find out, Lady Tyrell was the...
She was the one who killed Joffrey.
Yeah, the mastermind.
Didn't we already know that?
Nope.
We had an idea. I had a feeling that it was her, but it never came out.
Never told
Maybe it was just that she was so thankful, like, when he died. That, like, it was, like, you know, not... I mean, she never said, I did it, but it would like, definitely... I mean, she wasn't a fan, to say the least.
No, definitely not. But, yeah, that was a good scene, too.
Yeah. Where she got her final revenge after downing that poison.
Yeah.
She's like, ha-ha, I killed your son. Ha-ha-ha.
Now, how do you think Jaime took that? I could have gone two different ways. I could have gone, he was pissed at Lady Tyrell because she killed his son.
Mm.
And he, you know, he loves his children, obviously, but he's pissed at her. Or he's pissed at Cersei because Cersei's madness caused Lady Tyrell to do that to her.
I think he's just mad at Tyrell, Lady Tyrell right now, but I think it's going to evolve into him
hating Cersei. Yeah. Okay.
Because she's at this point, she's kind of playing with him with the whole,
right.
I'm going to sleep with you and be all obvious about it.
Yeah.
Caring what he...
Because if he was pissed at Lady Tyrell, he would have stayed in the room a lot longer than he did.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that just quickly evolved into hating Cersei.
I think he's just kind of done with her.
I mean, how would you feel about that?
Well, I mean, first off, you know, is someone just saying that just to, like, fuck with you, or are they actually serious? I mean, she's got no reason not to tell the truth there, but I don't know. I would just probably have done what he did. I mean, she drank the poison. Like, what else am I going to do?
You know, she chugged it like a beast, too.
Yeah. But anyway. I was just worried she was going to, like, cut her head off, which, like, was kind of, like, not what I wanted to see on a Sunday night.
And then you had a battle at the end? I mean, no, it is what it is, John. It is what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, but anyway, let's finish up. Game of Thrones, 3 episodes down, 4 left to go. This one was the highest rated at a 9.5.
Yeah, it was pretty high rated.
Yep.
People hey, did it. You guys see the news about next season? They're saying it could possibly be actually the longest season that they've made, because, like, there's a chance, like, the episodes might all be, like, hour and a half, 2 hours long.
Wow. I can see it.
Damn.
I don't know why they would do it that way, but...
Just get more episodes.
I'll take it. I'll take as much Thrones as I can to slow down this pace a little bit. In all honesty. I think it's going a little bit too fast.
Which is rare for the show.
God damn it, Sam. You and the slow parts.
It is a slow show.
All right, let's move.
Over the years.
Let's talk about something that wasn't in any way ever slow. At least in my mind. That would be the movie Dunkirk, which I saw in IMAX a week and a half ago. Sam saw it when? Monday?
Monday.
I'll start. I absolutely love this movie. I thought it was great. I actually came in, like, got to the movie theater like 5 minutes after it started, but I feel like it wasn't a huge loss because there's really no setup at all to this movie. Best way I've heard it explained is that it's essentially like just a third act the entire time, but it really works. It's a very sort of like visceral experience, almost like the best thing I can compare it to is like Gravity, where it was sort of like an event and at just a very simple, like, here's a conflict and you're just going step by step to get to the resolution of the whole thing. You know, I think the big thing with this movie is that Christopher Nolan, crazy that this happened, right? But he has three different timelines going and they aren't exactly synced up. No. So they sort of do converge at one point, and, you know, when you start to realize what it is, there's a payoff. And it's not necessarily, or at least I didn't find it disorienting, but...
No, it wasn't disorienting.
It was not, yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, I really enjoyed it. You know, there's some criticisms, I guess, that I've heard that, you know, we could go through. But, Sam, what did you think?
I thought this movie was boring as shit. Like, I had a completely different experience than you. Like, I felt like this movie wanted to feel tense, but gave me absolutely no reason to feel tense. Like,
okay.
Like, you know, they're like, we have to get off this beach, we have to get off. So let's just sit around and kind of talk. Well, not really talk, we're just going to sit around. Because there's very few lines in this movie.
Right. I mean, are you saying it like otherwise like lacks action or intensity? Like, I mean, it's not a talky movie. I would definitely give you that.
It really lacks any kind of intensity or action or anything. It's just people, you know, doing things. Like even though, like, the probably the most exciting parts was like the fighter pilot scene, the fighter air combat scenes, like those seem to drag a lot while too.
You and really thought those those
kind of dragged
on?
Yeah,
like that was. I thought the way those were, particularly one just filmed, that you had those stationary cameras like on the planes, and there wasn't like, I don't think there was any real like CGI to speak of.
No, yeah, it was a cool shot, but like, I like to move on now, because I've seen, you know, you try to shoot down that Messerschmitt, you know, five times now, and it's the same exact shot every time. Can we move on? I just didn't really care. I didn't care about any of the characters at all, because I don't remember anybody's name.
Right. The only person's name I remember is George. George dies. So.
Yeah, George dies. Also, the
spoiler.
The climax of the movie, when all the like little boats show up, is completely spoiled by the fact that we've been following a little boat the whole time, and they've already mentioned that the call's gone out for all these all small civilian boats to come. So it's
yeah,
like,
but there was all these yeah, but Sam. Like, there's fucking U-boats in the channel. There's, like, you know, the Luftwaffe is, like, strafing all these boats. Like, it would not like it's a definite thing that they make the channel crossing. Like, because I thought, the big fucking swelling music there, I legitimately, I'm not lying here, I, like, cried at that scene.
So you were, like, Kenneth Branagh?
Yeah, I was fucking in it.
And that was, like... Him, he was just sitting on a pier the whole time looking at things.
Right.
Like, he didn't do anything.
I won't disagree with you there, because that's literally all he did.
Yeah, he just stood on the pier and looked at things.
I don't know, man.
Like, I found this movie boring. It was just boring.
There's a lot of, like, awkward silence here.
I think John's just stunned.
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't call it. I mean, there is a little bit of like, well, why do I give a shit about this? Like,
exactly.
There is sort of a like because there's kind of a lack of explaining, like, not necessarily who these characters are, because I mean, I'm not gonna lie, if you have like half a brain, like, you understand like essentially who the characters are in like 3 seconds.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like they're like overly complex or anything.
Yeah, you got soldier, fighter pilot, and...
Yeah, but this isn't Platoon. It's not like they're really supposed to be either. Like, it's telling, like, a very, like, basic story of there being this impossible situation of, like, you know, 300,000, 400,000 troops,
but
like, stuck in a city.
Did it feel impossible? It didn't feel impossible to me.
Really?
No!
But I mean, like, they're loading it onto a pier where there's like one board to get from one side to another. Every time you see a boat, it gets like hit by bombs or a U-boat, or I mean, God, like, they're talking about how like they can't get the wounded off and they just fucking sink in the ship. Like,
yeah, what? Like, the thing is like, I saw like what, 2 boats sink.
How many boats are you supposed to? What do you want? Like a 30-minute fucking like segment? Where it's like, oh god damn, another boat, it sank.
No, it just didn't feel like I was watching something really intense. It felt like a couple boats sank, you know, some planes flew over, dropped a couple bombs. Like, when the bombs exploded, it was felt kind of really underwhelming. Like, it was just like, oh, a couple bombs exploded.
Yeah, I mean... You know, one thing I have seen that I think maybe is a little fair is that, you know, it's supposed to be like a PG-13 war epic, and that's...
Yeah.
That could be tough to do. I think he makes the most of it.
Wait, he was,
but
it was PG-13?
I don't know if that was apparently enough, you know?
Yeah, like, there's...
Wait, it was PG-13?
Yeah.
After 2000, there's a PG-13 war movie?
Apparently.
Oh, God.
And he wants to... Yep. Capture the drama of war, and Jesus. Like, is just like, we don't need war.
Well, no, I mean, what happens in that conversation is that it's like, hey guys, I want to make a $150 million war movie, and like, then they're like, okay, that's great. There's no way that's going to be rated R because no one's going to go see it.
And I'm supposed to forgive the movie for that?
I get why that decision is made, but
yeah, I think he was shooting for the stars with that budget, though.
Mm.
150 million. Well, I guess, but you can make a war movie for 100 million, 50 million, maybe.
The problem, right? Though,
where did all that money go? Because this movie felt very small.
But
there's a lot of ships. There's all those people on the beach are like, by and large, real. Those are all like actual extras.
Yeah.
But I can see where you can get it.
I mean, filming it in wide format IMAX is, like, expensive as shit, too. Now, I don't know if maybe, perhaps, this is why I was so much more moved and, like, you know, wrapped up in the whole story. But this is, like, one of the few movies I've seen where it's like, yeah, you should go fucking see this in IMAX. It was great. And the sound was
so I can see the gray phenomenal. And seafoam bigger? Like... people brood on a beach
certain
more.
Certain movies you want to see.
No, dude, those air battle scenes, like, your read on the whole thing is garbage. Because those air battle scenes are fucking
maybe
phenomenal
we should, maybe
with the sound and
maybe Sam, just, maybe you and I should go see this in IMAX just to see what he's...
I don't want
to
watch this movie again. It was boring.
See, honestly...
I will go see it with anybody who wants to go see it in IMAX.
I was
going
to say, to really get full grasp of what's going on, because we literally have two polar opposites for this movie, would be if Sam went to go see it in IMAX and John went to go see it at a normal cinema.
I wouldn't ask you to see it a second
time. No, I know,
but
that would be the only way we could really get, because Sam going to see it in IMAX, like, yeah, it's going to give Sam two different points of view, but John's point of view is always going to be the same.
Yeah, but it shouldn't, truthfully though, I mean, to Sam's point, if it is a fucking boring movie, like
it's gonna
be
a boring movie
in IMAX, but it shouldn't be a 180, you know.
Yeah, but it still, like, the way you're talking about it, it sounds like this is a phenomenal IMAX movie, and it could possibly be. I mean, like Chris already said, like, me and Chris haven't seen this, but the issue here is, how many IMAXs are there in the world? If it's just for IMAX, this is an insanely expensive IMAX-only movie where you can't get the full...
I doubt...
But
I mean,
as you're saying,
it's much better, but it's
right.
Not... I mean, there's only, like, less than 100, like, actual, like, 70mm IMAXs in the world. The rest are, like... There's other, quote-unquote, IMAX ones, but they're, like, bullshit. They're not actually, like, IMAX.
What's the one in what's the one in Providence?
That's an IMAX.
That's a real one, IMAX. Thankfully.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, there's no real one in Massachusetts.
Yeah.
Not even in...
It's
Science Museum, I think, might be the only real
one. Yeah, that's an IMAX.
I thought they had one in downtown.
Maybe. No, they might call it IMAX, and it's a large picture, but it's not actually, like, 70mm, like, film. Like, the aspect ratio. Mm. Yeah. Like, this movie, most of it, if you will see an IMAX, it's like a square aspect ratio. Have you guys seen, probably not, Dark Knight Rises?
Saw that on the IMAX.
Yeah, like, remember, like, how the sound was, like, really awesome? Like, when he had the back plane and it was flying overhead? Like,
There's that, and then the whole truck flip scene was probably the best scene I've ever seen in IMAX.
Well, that'd be the Dark Knight, not
Dark Knight Rises.
Right. Well, he did, right, so in those two movies, he filmed certain scenes in IMAX. Whereas this one is, like, almost the entire movie. And I'll admit, like, you know, it would be flawed to me if, like, it's only really good in one format over the other, but I feel like I'd be just as invested. I mean, it's definitely a movie you gotta... it's probably best, like, in a movie theater. Like, I don't think this is gonna be a good cable movie, because it's, like, you kind of just have to be, like... invested in it and watch it and kind of, like,
you know, forced to be in that theater for 2 hours.
Hour not forced, but you kind of, like, lose
I was
it if
forced.
You just kind of, like, watch it, like, 10 minutes worth.
I feel like we need to go see the dollar movie again. Go to the drive-in and see two movies.
War Apes is no longer there. I was kind
Dunkirk.
Of
they cycling through these movies quick right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, they are.
I don't know how Dunkirk would be in the drive-in.
Yeah.
Probably not that good.
No.
I would not recommend seeing that at a drive-in.
Yeah. Well, it's a good thing we have other things.
Mm.
But anyway,
true.
Final thoughts on Dunkirk? We got to rate it. So.
Yes, you two do.
I have the big...
I give it a 9. It's probably Christopher Nolan's best movie.
Okay.
That's high praise.
I give it like a 6.5. Like, it was just a wholly boring movie.
I want to see where that compares.
You
liked
it better than Valerian.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, that was definitely better than Valerian.
But do you enjoyed Valerian more?
I wanted to enjoy Valerian more.
So far, that's John's favorite movie of the year.
Wow.
Yeah, that might be the best movie I've seen. Just like, I couldn't tell you off the top of my head a better movie I've seen in like 2 or 3 years.
Like, what movie did you see?
Sam, like,
this was boring. It was just like British people going like, we need to do
that
stuff.
Fucking soundtrack itself is not in any way boring.
That's, the soundtrack shouldn't make it. The soundtrack was like completely missing the whole story, which wasn't feeling tense at all. It felt like the soundtrack was like, does this make you feel tense? Does this make it feel intense? But the story wasn't intense at all.
As horror movie fans can tell you, soundtrack means nothing at all to creating atmosphere or tense or anything like that.
If it matches up with what's actually going on. Like, it's supposed to be in sync. It wasn't in sync at all.
At any point in time, they could have gotten fucking brushed by fucking fighter pilots, picked off by snipers. Like,
what snipers?
You both could have sunk the ship. Like, you had no idea what the fuck was going to happen.
Kind of knew, because they were just sitting around.
How did you know? How did you know they were not going to fucking die there?
Should I get off this?
No, it's entertaining so far. They're just yelling.
Okay.
It's just, it was boring. Like, they were like, what, they got like dive bombed like twice the whole movie?
Yeah, at
how
the
many
end,
times
when,
do you want people to
are
die?
You gonna make fun of the end at least? You
well, no, they're trying to make me feel like they're in peril. But like the whole time, they're like standing around and sitting and just brooding and like, I'm supposed to feel like they're in danger if they're not acting like they're in danger?
What the fuck are they supposed to do?
I don't know, but, like, you have to give me a reason to feel like they're in danger. You can't just assume I'm going to be like, oh, well, clearly they're you know, about to die.
All right. I can't...
You can't take it anymore?
I can take it. It's just I don't think our listeners can take it. John, the critics agree with you, though.
Yeah.
What's the rating, Sean?
The Metascore is a 94.
And what's
it? IMDb 8.5.
Okay. So, John, everybody agrees with you.
Right.
But here's, Sam.
Well, here's my thing that, you know, I will always stand behind. Christopher Nolan is a good director, very highly overrated as a director. Because Dark Knight Rises is one of the best films of all time, still, on, like, IMDb. And it's not.
That was a terrible movie.
Like, Inception, I think, is top 20. Like,
Inception is like a top 20 movie.
I doubt that. We could probably come up with 20 movies that are better than Inception.
I can think of one movie.
And on that note, Chris is going to review the Emoji Movie.
Speaking of tense...
Let's keep making more Avengers movies. That'd be fucking great.
No. Speaking of tense... and a creative atmosphere and utter peril, I want to talk about the movie industry as a whole. Because why the fuck would you ever make this movie?
Because Sony needs money?
Oh my goodness, what time?
How long does Chris have to rant?
You gotta talk about this for at least 5 minutes.
Okay.
We are gonna make you.
I hope you have questions. Okay, so let me set up this movie, John, because you guys were on the text chain.
Build us this world.
So I was forced to go see the Emoji Movie because I couldn't come up with as many Patrick Stewart movies as John and Sean.
Now you got one more.
I was.
Hey, you didn't count this.
I lost the challenge, and like a good patron and a good person, I went and I paid my debt, and I went to go see the Emoji Movie. So I go home and I tell my wife that I'm essentially
forced. This has
nothing
to do with the movie.
No, I know. I tell my wife I'm essentially forced to go see this movie, and she's like, "Oh, I wanted to see that movie." Mistake number one. Why would you ever want to go see this movie?
Well, at least you weren't also dragging your wife to it.
I wasn't dragging it. She chose on her own free will to go. But anyway, it was a 6:30 movie, I think. Yeah. And we showed up at 6:10. And I go up to the, it's like pay yourself, whatever it is. They asked me to select my seats, and there were no seats open. Well, there were single seats. It was like three single seats, but they were separate. And there were no seats. And I thought, holy shit, is this movie really selling out? And it did. That theater, that showing sold out. So we're like, okay, screw it. Go back for the 9:15. And the theater is empty. I mean empty. There was maybe 10 people in the theater with us while we were there.
Any kids?
There were a group of teens a few rows back.
All right.
There was a young girl behind us with her dad, and well, I would assume her dad, and then a young boy kind of a little ways down the row.
So
with
some
her
kids.
Dad, with her his dad. But anyway, there were some kids. And then... I don't even know how to explain this. So, full disclosure, Christina slept for half of this movie.
Good choice.
The entire second half, she just didn't see. And I'm not going to lie, I slept for about 10 minutes. I never fall asleep during movies. The only movie I fell asleep during was Spawn. But that was years ago. And then I was tired. I just fell asleep for 10 minutes. But anyway, so this movie. We show up. We sit down, get in our seats. And Christina's got the wine.
Get to the movie, man!
No, I can't get to the movie. Why? Because there was 5 fucking trailers and then a mini short before it.
How was the mini short?
Yeah, how was the mini short?
It was... What was it about? What the hell is the vampire with Adam Sandler?
Oh, Hotel Transylvania?
Yep, they had a 10-minute film.
Okay.
Or a little bit less than 10 minutes. But they had one of those. And that was the best movie that we saw that night. That was the best movie. And, okay, so this movie is... I'm trying to think of a plot point here. Because there really wasn't any.
So what's the first act? What happens?
So they introduce you to this land. It's like Monsters, Inc. in a way. Where they introduce you to this land where everybody is its own emoticon or emoji. I think that's what they're called. Emojis.
Yeah.
So that everybody is their own. So they have like the smiley face. And then they have the poop. And then they have the devil. And then they have a princess. And then they have like...
Do people just go monkeys. Around like sucking the smiley face guy's like dick the whole time?
No. They have to... So the thing is they have to do what their emoji is. So the devil is always like acting devilish. The smiley face is always smiling.
Have to? Are they being forced?
They are that.
Okay.
That is them.
You were almost implying that like there's some evil force forcing them.
Except for our main character, who is the meh emoji. Who can
he's
do
Gene
every meh. Other emoticon, so he can do smiley faces, he can do sad faces, he can
so
do dead faces.
Different.
So he's defective.
Oh.
He's a virus. Yep.
No. Did they kill him?
And then the whole point of the movie is to save him by going out of their emoticon app and going to the upload app to get downloaded to the cloud. Or uploaded
to
the
Matrix.
I have no idea.
It's the exact plot to the Matrix.
You've never seen the Matrix?
I feel like this kids movie was way over my head because I have no idea what emojis were. I have no idea what... I'm not technologically savvy with certain things.
Chris, we've sent you emojis.
Is that what those are?
Yes.
Oh, okay. All right. Anyway.
Oh my God, seriously?
Anyway... So it takes me a while.
We got a title for this episode. Chris doesn't know emojis.
So it takes me a while to figure this shit out. Like it took me a good 2 years after LOL came out to actually figure out what it means. And I still refuse to use LOL in any of my text messages.
I use haha.
Yeah,
I can't do LOL.
I've been using haha since like 2000.
But anyway, back to the glorious.
I was into haha before it was cool.
Hey, I'm the haha hipster.
Back to this glorious movie. And it follows the main character. What's his name? Gene?
Gene Meh?
Yeah, Gene Meh.
I like how Sean knows the character.
And, he's got the IMDb. And thank God for that, because But anyway, problem number one. It's a meh emoji. And they have to act meh throughout the movie. That is what they are. So, of course, two more of their main characters are meh. Mrs. Meh and Mr. Meh.
Mary Meh and Mel Meh.
Yeah. So let's get this straight. Your center of your movie is around, granted they weren't all the main characters, but three of your main characters are the most miserable, boring, lifeless things ever. No
well,
connection.
Well, that's The Walking Dead. I mean, there
is no connective tissue to anything. It didn't make you connect at all to any of these characters. And typically, it's not hard to connect to certain things in an animated movie. Zootopia. You can connect with any one of those creatures. But for some reason, you can't do anything with this. I mean, this is the simplest plot ever. Simplest plot ever. It's definitely a kid's movie. But no suspense, no anything, oddly enough, emotional to connect to this movie. There's no emotions while watching this
movie. Was the eggplant emoji there?
The eggplant emoji?
Eggplant?
Yeah.
Honestly, I couldn't tell you what half of those are.
It's the stand-in for the dick. I don't know if you guys got
it. It's a kid's movie, so I don't...
Yeah, you got the eggplant, the peach, the rain. Like, there's a lot of things.
Seriously, yeah. Dude, I couldn't even tell you what the fuck half this shit was.
Did the eyes emoji show up? I've been really liking that one lately.
I don't know. I have no idea. I have no idea. And it just was... There was no... You didn't feel anything while watching this movie.
Who was the most compelling emoji in your eyes?
Jailbreak.
Anna Faris's character?
Anna Faris's character. Okay. She's a hacker, quote unquote hacker, who is able to get things downloaded to the cloud. Because I guess there's some invisible force field where they can't do it themselves to download themselves to the cloud unless the user...
Which one is that? What does she look like?
She's got a hat, like a hat on.
Yeah, she's
beanie.
Got like colored hair. She's looking at a picture of her right now.
She's a beanie.
Is she like not a real one?
Yeah, she doesn't look like a real one.
No, she isn't a real one until in the end. Spoiler alert! She reveals herself as a princess.
Oh, she's the princess.
Fuck
emoji.
That!
But it doesn't make sense. And it's the only way things can change is if the user of the phone does it. And at the beginning of the movie, they made this speech that you were like, okay, I can see what they're trying, the point they're trying to make. Oh, kids are on their phone all the time. But the point never hit home. It never hit home. And it just, oh, God.
Kids, get off your phone and watch this movie about phones.
I can't even begin to tell you how awful this movie was. The flow was straightforward. It was from app to app to app to app to app. That's literally what it was. And then they're being chased by these bots who are just... I can't even tell. Like, it's fucking
was there,
awful.
Was
it was
there
so
Spider-Man
bad.
Emoji?
Huh?
Was there a Spider-Man emoji or other shit that Sony makes?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't think it was a Christmas tree. It was the poop one. There was a singing princess.
Was there a TriStar one?
I don't think so.
How about Columbia Pictures? They got one.
It's his favorites. So the emojis were the user's favorites. So that's who the main ones were. So for some reason, Sir Patrick Stewart
was in there. Did it turn out Will Ferrell
was
the user?
No. I don't know who voiced the user. No, the thing, again, with my thing about people spending too much money for voices, Sofia Vergara, I think, was it Sofia Vergara?
Yeah, she was,
she was the
flamenca?
Yeah, she was like a dancing Spanish lady.
She
said six words, maybe.
But you go through this list, so you got T.J. Miller, James Corden, Anna Faris, Maya Rudolph, Stephen Wright, the comedian... Jennifer
they
Coolidge.
Don't actually pay these people a lot. Like,
no, I know, I know. But
Patrick like Stewart, hour. Christina Aguilera, Sofia Vergara. Sean Hayes is in it.
It just doesn't make sense to me that these names you would think would bring in anybody. It really surprises me that this movie actually put up a fight with Dunkirk in the theater.
Yeah, that's kind of scary.
But anyway, it's just this movie was utterly ridiculous. There was minimal plot. No connective tissue to anybody. There was no emotions throughout the whole movie. There was no suspense in the end. in the end, they were the user was deleting his phone, everything off his phone, and then
so everyone died in the end.
I don't understand how they deleted. He deleted his entire phone, except for this one emoji that was able to send a message to save everybody. And he's like, "No, I'm good. I'm not gonna delete anything." How does that work?
Yeah,
you have zero things backed up at that point.
If my phone sent me a message being like, "Please don't kill us," like my first reaction would be, "All right, fine, sure, I'll just do that." My first reaction would be like, "It's become sentient. Skynet is real."
Yeah. Also,
throw it against the wall.
Did you see on the news? I forgot what
Facebook.
Company it was.
Facebook.
Yeah, Facebook created the AI.
And it started creating its own language. And nobody could decipher something. Like, yep, pull the plug.
Yeah. Well done, Facebook. Right? Well done, Facebook. But anyway, this movie had zero plot, zero suspense. Again, no character, little development for the majority of the characters. The ending was stupid. It was just really bad. And
musical numbers,
I mean,
at least?
Plot holes with a bunch of the other apps.
Any notable ones? Can you explain to me a plot hole?
Yeah. How is it that three emoticons... Emoticons?
Emojis,
whatever it is. Whatever
it's
it is.
The name of the fucking movie.
The movie is called The Emoji.
I get it. Okay, so there are three emojis.
What are they? Legos, Lagos.
Are in
Lego movie?
A dancing app. And the point is to, when you dance and mimic Christina Aguilera or whatever it is, you move up a space. But if you fail, then you get dropped off into nothing.
I believe it's...
But then...
Akiko Glitter would be the character's name.
But it's just, how is emojis using this app and progressing throughout the app without the user actually having the app and doing this stuff? Because it doesn't go off on its own. Not to mention, the high five, I think his name is High Five.
Yeah.
Whatever it was, he's dancing all over the app without any blocks underneath him. Just, how did... I can't... It blows my mind. I can't believe I saw this freaking movie.
This is what lost you?
No, it lost me from the second that they tried to make the point that kids are on their phone all the time, and this is that and the other thing. I'm like, oh, that's a deep cut. And then they're like, but here's the smiley face emoji. All right, everybody get ready for the text that's going out. Because it's all about the text. Because whenever the guy does the texts, the emojis have to be in a special box. And then they'll take a picture, like a scan of the box, and then it will go on the phone. It's just...
This world is very well thought out.
I can't. It's... All right. I think somebody mentioned it as TJ Miller's elevator pitch, and somebody is like, we'll spend $50 million on
that. It's his elevator pitch while stoned off his ass.
Yeah.
Well, Chris, we'll put you out of your misery here.
Yeah, fuck this movie.
What do you boil it down to? What's your rating out of 10?
Zero.
Yeah.
Zero.
So point, dude,
see, you probably should have saw it.
Straight. Straight zero. Do not waste your money on this movie. And another note, two-thirds of the way through this movie, I heard three people snoring. My wife, the guy at the end of the row, the dad, I'm guessing, and then the guy behind me with his kid was, I'm assuming his kid was awake, man. But I heard three people snoring in this movie. And it was just, there was nothing about this movie that made you sit there and be like, yeah, I chuckled here. There was no laughs.
All right, let's move on.
Zero.
We're sorry, but now you get to punish one of us the next time.
I got to find something. However, I did see five previews for movies that are coming out. So be wary.
Okay. Yes.
And none of them look good.
Do you want me to go into Rick and Morty real quick?
No.
Sure.
I don't know if we have time.
I got 5 minutes. Really quick. So Rick and Morty, technically season 3 started April 1st of this year. But it was just a teaser kind of thing. But yeah, the second episode of season 3 dropped on Monday. It was kind of like a Mad Max-ish type episode. Really funny. Very surprised that no. Well, Chris, you probably be on the fence with this show, but like Sam and John, very surprised neither of you guys really like tried watching this. But it's just like it's so overly stupid, but so incredibly deep kind of show. And I know that's like it's insane to think about. But it like this this episode's like. It came out a year and a half after season two ended. So is it, you know, year and a half of hiatus for a TV show is kind of big, especially when it had a following and had good numbers. Chris just wrote, do not do it on Emoji Movie. But yeah, so it was like a Mad Max-esque in the like type episode where it's just, I mean, I hate to spoil anything because, like, I know Sam would probably enjoy the show, and I know John would probably enjoy the show. But if you've never watched Rick and Morty, but you enjoy, like, The Simpsons or Family Guy, I hate Family Guy personally, but Simpsons, it's like, a crazy funny show. But like I said, it can hit home. Like, it hurts sometimes watching it. Like, it's so incredibly deep. For like a stupid, crazy TV show, definitely give it a watch. It's Mondays on Adult Swim. Like I said, season three. I think how many episodes they have this season? So it's like 12 episode seasons. This season they're slated for 14. So they upped it. So definitely looking forward to that.
I feel like if you want deep cuts, watch This Is Us.
No, this is like surprisingly deep for a crazy, insane, like stupid. Cartoon show. I'm just saying.
Anyway, for those of you who like I said, Adult Swim,
No, you don't even have to like Adult Swim. Like this, I've watched other programs on Adult Swim. This is like nothing like that. It's good. No, like
Sean, what are past seasons on? Is it
they're on Hulu? And I watched the most recent episode on AdultSwim.com. But I know they have. Seasons 1 and 2 on Hulu. They don't have the first episode of season 3 on there. I had to watch that on demand.
Okay, good to know.
Yeah, but it's an easy show, half-hour show. You can blow through them really quickly. It's a good binge watch.
All right, well, let's move on to the final.
The final act.
Okay, so final... topic for tonight is Preacher. We're going to catch you up because we haven't talked Preacher in about 6 weeks.
Yeah, it's been a while.
So...
What's going on?
Well, when we first left off, when we first reviewed it, episodes 1 and 2 were great.
Oh, yeah. We're introduced to the Saint of Killers.
Yeah, it got things rolling, yeah. and it made the show good.
Yeah, they're looking for God. And then they were like, hey, let's go to New Orleans. And then it got kind of shitty for a bit.
Yep. So it was good 1 and 2, and it was okay 3. I think 4 and 5 were pretty bad. 6 and 7 I think were really good.
I loved 7.
I like this show now, how it's... last season, it was a whole bunch of random craziness mm-hmm. and just weird. And then now it's pretty much just one episode at a time weird.
Yeah.
So there is... So I think it was... 6 or 7, I forget what it was, but it was the guy in the white suit with
seven.
The pig. Was a 7? Yeah, yeah, so it was half the episode was about him, which was just crazy, and then the other half was about Jesse.
Oh, I keep forgetting the guy's name. Hair Star.
Yeah.
The German guy?
That's...
I was laughing my ass off with that guy on some parts.
He was an interesting...
I'm so excited for him.
That's what they do now, and it's great, because they stick with one character for half an episode... And they don't skip to random things throughout. So they'll stick with Jesse's plot and then this guy's plot. And then that's about it.
Yeah.
And that was great. And it wasn't bouncing around from character to character to character to character like mm-hmm. it was in the first season. They kind of just stuck to their guns and be like, all right, we're only doing two or three characters per episode. Fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're right. Like, having a smaller scope has really helped. And having these sort of, like, one-off, like, well, what the fuck is this? Like, the episode prior to that, this whole thing of, like, buying people's souls or a portion of it.
I really loved that. That was really good. I liked what they did with that. And it was interesting. It was different.
Yeah.
But it wasn't crazy.
And then on top of that too, so you had that, and then you had that whole scene where Jesse's like explaining the situation to the Saint of Killers and is like trying to bargain with this guy who we've essentially, you know, have regarded the whole time as this like unstoppable, like otherworldly, I mean literally otherworldly force that it's like, I mean, I wasn't expecting that at all to happen. I don't know how that was going to be resolved, but like it wasn't that way.
Yeah.
No. And do we think it's going to come back and haunt him that he didn't kill the Saint of Killers?
Maybe down the road. But I don't.
I don't think it's the last time we've seen the same.
No, but I bet he's gonna take all those souls and like become this super OD.
Well, but he can't. Saint of Killers. It has to be a match.
That's if you take 100 non-matches? That's what I'm saying. It's just gonna come up like the Abomination. Maybe. It's just gonna be nuts.
I feel like that might be the last of him this season. I think they're really going towards Hairstar being the new villain of this season.
The only thing I didn't particularly like about this last episode was that how much it seemed like Hairstar was almost just like the same dude. Like, he had a personality and everything, don't get me wrong, but like the fact that he leaves like that whole little Vietnamese village or whatever you want to call it, you know, like essentially we're left with another guy that like leaves everybody dead like in his path, you know.
Right. But it, more or less, the thing with the Saint of Killers is it's like that one is like a tormented soul that like they really get into it with the episode 6 about who the Saint of Killers was and his history and stuff. The thing with Hairstar,
and that was great too. Yeah. Like they're reading these books about how like it's so like dumb and like, you know, like you would never, like you're reading books about like a thing going to like heaven or something, you know, like it's impossible for them to actually be doing that. I don't know. I thought it was like just the way they do some of this like storytelling is just it's different enough from other shows out there that like it kind of like makes it entertaining all on its own.
But the whole thing with Hairstar, like him becoming part of the Goblet and like them explaining what the Goblet is and everything and how apparently Jesus has
he's in a bunker
child.
Surrounded.
No,
by
he has a child, and so that's how Jesus lives on. He had a child to the world, and that's in the bunker.
Oh yeah, guarded with guys with machine guns.
Right, and just like Hairstar, the whole like recruitment stuff with Hairstar. Like I was laughing.
In the end, you knew when he was shooting downrange, he's gonna.
He was just gonna turn the gun, shoot the guy, and walk away. But like when they were getting their testicles electrocuted, and he was just standing there, stone faced. And then like
and he's like trying to hit on the lady. Yeah, he's like, tell me where it is, or I'll kill your whole family.
Yeah, it's like turn down the lights. She's like, tell me where the microfilm is, or I will kill you and your whole family.
It's
It was just so great. Just the like his character is just so funny because he's so like he's so monotone and stone faced, but the things he does is just like insane. Like when he's standing out on the balcony, he just throws the guy off and just turns around, sits down in the desk, pulls down the Jesus sign, and is like, "Yep, I'm in charge now." Like it's out of nowhere.
I'm starting to. Every episode, just it grows. I really don't like Tulip.
Yeah,
her story.
Yeah,
her lines. I just don't like the character. I just don't like her.
Yeah.
At all.
Well, I think in some ways, you know, we're off on this crazy fucking adventure, and I think she in some ways is supposed to be like Jesse's not really a good guy. Cassidy kind of isn't. I mean, he's a fucking vampire. I think like Tulip in some ways, granted, like, this show stretches a lot of, like, definitions of things, but, like, she's supposed to in some ways be kind of, like, the conscience of the show, you know? Or, like, at least, like, kind of, not, like, a moral center, but, like, you know, hey, should we really be doing this, you know? Like, you know how, like, at the very onset of the season, she has a problem with, like, Jesse using the voice?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, you know, that role is always going to be tough because it's like you're just like kind of ruining the party. Like, I don't disagree with what you're saying. It's just like I feel like if you don't have that, the show kind of, I don't know, starts like running away a little bit. Although with this show, fuck it, maybe that's what they should do.
Yeah, but then again, I just don't like. So, for instance, when they went and she was married to that guy,
yeah,
and they followed that whole thread.
Oh, with Dallas.
I hated that.
That was an awful episode.
Why is that necessary? Well, I mean, the backstory with her and Jesse and her, I get that it's needed, but the other story, was it?
That's the thing. Was it needed?
It might come up later. I think it's going to come up later.
Maybe?
But there's no point in some of that stuff.
Well, there was like a gap though, like they did split up, and you know, it's kind of important to know why that was.
It's kind of the whole thing was just. I mean, it's the lowest rated episode of the season so far, Dallas. But like nothing really happened to further our story. It was just all backstory, which kind of could have been used in season one, I guess.
Yeah,
not really in this season. Because it's kind of a calm of all the craziness and the action. Like, and all of a sudden, they just take a different tone with this season, with that episode, where it's more, like, laid back, not crazy at all, and it's just them trying to get pregnant for an entire episode.
I think it's pretty obvious. Like, those two were probably the weakest episodes. Dallas and whatever the one before that is.
Yeah.
But...
You're right. We had the overlap of the story, like we did with the Saint of Killers.
Yeah,
it was just it was 10 minutes of showing the same thing,
mm-hmm.
and it was the same thing with him going to get beer past the church and all this other stuff.
That was long. That was like 10 minutes of.
No,
like...
it's ridiculous. And some people think that artsy. No, it's just. You don't have material.
Yeah, it's like at some point it just gets old.
Yeah, I mean they got their point across that they've been trying for a while, but
I mean the closest thing that I can think of to something along those lines would be I've been trying to catch up with the Doctor, Doctor Who, and there was an episode at the end of season.
Yeah, we got a lady doctor.
Yeah, we got a lady doctor now, so I'm trying to catch up. I'm excited for that, but I think was it season 8, the second season with Peter. Capovalli, or it was like the second to last episode where it's like a realization that he's like trying to break out of a jail for over it's like billions of years, so everything's on repeat, and it's kind of like they do that, they use the repeat showing you everything over and over again to really drive home what he's doing, how long it's actually taking. This it's like literally, if I feel like every day they're going through the same routine. And honestly, with Preacher, at one point I was like, just buy a 36 rack. It's going to cost less.
Yeah.
Like, he's going in buying a six pack every fucking day. Like, just buy a huge case. It's got to be expensive.
Dude, alcoholics don't act like that, though.
Yeah. Speaking of...
You know why? Because you buy a 36, you know how many beers you're going to drink that day?
36.
Speaking of breaking out of jail, we haven't seen Assface in a while. We're due for an Assface episode.
Yeah, it looks like he's coming back next episode.
Oh, is he? Oh, I didn't watch the trailer.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, be curious kind of how that's gone, because that really hasn't really materialized into much other than, like, chilling with Hitler a little bit.
Mm, yeah. But I think we could all say Preacher started off well.
Guys, out of context, this show just seems weird.
Hey, Sam. Hitler's not a bad guy.
There's no just watch the next episode. You'll be fine.
Yeah.
Hitler's kind of a nice guy in hell.
Well, it's Preacher has
kind of feel bad for him.
Has an upward bell curve right now. So an upside down bell curve right now. So hopefully he continues with solid episodes, you know. I don't remember how many there are in this season.
There are 13.
13.
Last one is coming out September 11th.
Yeah. All right. So we're going a little long. Let's wrap this up next week. I don't know if we have any movies to talk about, but we'll probably have a few TV shows. So if you like this episode, you can find more episodes of us on iTunes, Podbean, and Stitcher, all for free. Like us on Facebook, and please leave us a review if you can. A little quick review on iTunes would be great. Thank you. It's much appreciated. That does it for us for this week. Until next time.
Bye.
Adios.
Sam's opinion are bad.